This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Back here on the morning shift, this hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Well, yesterday, David Deshant of The Athletic put together a list of the top 10 free agents at every position. And so today we're focusing on his top 10 free agent defensive tackles and whether or not the Falcons could land any of these guys that are on this list. I'll just throw a couple out. Javon Hargrave, Milton Williams, the Eagles, of course, Hargrave, the 49ers, DJ Jones, the Broncos. Who else is on this list? Of course, Calais Campbell. Maybe he makes another tour here coming from the Dolphins. Juwan Reed, Seahawks. So just to name a couple of these guys on the list. Wait, that he has.
Wouldn't you like a space eater like Puna Ford here and the name Puna? I'm all for Milton Williams. Problem is Milton Williams is going to get a – remember when Javon Hargrave, the first Super Bowl year, the Philly – not the first, but the Super Bowl year the Philly had when Jalen Hurts – Jalen Hurts' first Super Bowl – and then Javon Hargrave was a very good player on that team. He leaves in free agency. He goes to San Francisco. Milton Williams is going to get a big-time deal similar to that to me. Hargrave has battled injury since he went to San Francisco. I think it was last year he was injured. I think the first couple years he was okay, but I don't think he had the impact that he did. Now, maybe it's just because there's so many other good players on defense you don't really think about it, or that their offense gets more of the notoriety, but Hargrave, Milton Williams, yes. Absolutely Milton Williams. I think DJ Jones, too.
I think when I look at this list, I see three high price players, and then after the top three, and I mentioned Milton Williams, Javon Hargrave, and Osa from the Cowboys.
Odigizuwa.
Yeah, I don't want to butcher his name.
He might get franchise tag, by the way.
It ding.
Because isn't it today?
And I don't think you're that far off.
Yeah, let me pull that up.
Yeah.
Because the new league year is next.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because I think you get down to DJ Jones from the Broncos, Puna Ford from the Chargers, Levi from the Lions, Jaron Reed from the Seahawks. Like, to me, all those guys kind of fit in their own category. And then I think you get past that, and you talk about Tart for the Chargers, Deshaun Wharton from the Chiefs, Calais Campbell. Like, they kind of fall in their own category as, like, one-year deals. I think in my opinion, 4 through 7, you're probably looking at 2-year contracts, and I think it's probably anywhere between 5 and 10 for a lot of those guys per year, average annual value. So the first question you have to ask yourself is, what's the future of Grady? What's the future of David Onyemata? Because as crazy as it is to think, and this is why a lot of people think that the Falcons end up letting go of both of those guys, is because you do look at those top three and think, man, I could bring one of those guys in if I save the money from the other two.
And your question about the franchise tag, the deadline is 4 p.m. Eastern today.
Yeah, the thing that's funny for me is when I listen to a ton of stuff, and I hear people talk about the Grady thing, and I hear them talk about Jake Matthews, and they talk about him differently. As if the two players weren't drafted a year apart.
Right.
They talk about Jake like he's long in the tooth and he's done. And they talk about Grady like, well, he's got years left and we gotta figure out what to do. I never understand that. But to me, it's Grady, Onyemata, and Caleb McGarry. Those are three guys that have big cap hits and who are either at the end of their deal or their cap hit's so big that you probably need to figure out something. Between Grady and Caleb McGarry, if I'm not mistaken, their cap hit this year is like $37 million.
Yeah. No,
you've got to figure out what to do with those two players, whether it's extend them or extend them to a deal that's market value, which I think Caleb would be closer to getting, or Grady maybe taking a more of a deal. And the reason I say with Grady is because where he's at in his career and the production, I think Caleb McGarry is still an elite run blocker and an average. Is it safe to say he's an average pass protector?
I would, yes. I would say that if you are ranking, 64 starting tackles in the NFL?
Well, I'd say 32 rights.
32 right tackles in the NFL. I'd say somewhere around 18 and 20.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'd put him right there. So I think that puts you in the average category.
Okay.
Look, he's got his ups and downs. Caleb McGarry's got his bumps and bruises, and as do a lot of these guys. And I think, in my opinion, the conversation between Jake and Grady is simply what the output is. I think that Grady Jarrett is still good, but I don't know that he's playing up to the level he was a few years ago. And I think a lot of that's because of the injury he had 2 years ago, and I think that there's something to that. Jake Matthews is one of those guys that is probably making below value for what he is. He's an above-average tackle. I mean, let's put it point blank. Above-average run blocker, above-average pass blocker. Again, though, and we talked about this yesterday, if you're going to make the switch to any point to do a different offense, you might want to look at different options. But I think when you look at the difference between Grady and Jake, I think Grady is probably overpriced for what you're getting right now, and I think Jake is probably underpriced.
And in a perfect world for me, the deal is you extend Grady for 3 years at more of a rotational player contract. That's what the perfect world for me is. I know that Grady probably still got a line share of the snaps last year, if you go back and look. I don't know what the future holds for Onyemata. I thought he was good year one here. I didn't think he was near as good last year.
Yeah. I thought he suffered without Ryan Nielsen.
And I was listening to Mike and Carl yesterday, and Mike made a really good point. Yes, I'm agreeing with Mike. You know, me and Mike have our moments, but I thought he made a really good point.
Clip this.
Is he said, and I agree, other than three players on the defense, and it's Caden Ellis, it's AJ, and it's Jesse. But other than that, this was not a good defense. How can we have players that are untouchable on a bad defense?
So, but what you're going back to what you said, and that's a good question, but going back to what you said about Grady, you want to see them manage him in a way that, like Calais Campbell has been managed.
Well, managed financially and from playing time, because I
was going more playing time, but I thought that's what you were getting at.
Yeah, I want to. Because honestly, it's time to start rotating some of the young guys in and keeping everybody fresh. I'd like to see Brandon Dorlus step up and be able to help out. But also, if you get a Walter Nolan type player, I mean.
My issue with what you're saying as far as Grady goes, and this is where I kind of go back and forth as former player, locker room guy, one that feels like this organization, quote unquote, owes something to the vets, and also the business side of it. I mean, we just saw the Eagles cut Darius Slay. Sometimes you have to make these tough decisions, and I think everybody goes back to the Julio Jones Falcon for Life thing and wonders if that's good business. It's not. It never is. And on the flip side, if you're in Grady Jarrett's pocket, at Grady's age right now and the recovery from the ACL a couple of years ago and everything else, don't you think if they approached Grady and they were like, hey, we can do a one-year $10 million deal or a three-year $20 million deal, don't you think he'd rather have the one-year $10 million?
Depends on how much is fully guaranteed.
Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yes,
like,
yeah,
I don't know that he wants to play three more years. I'd rather have the more money up front where I'm guaranteed in year one and I can get a year from now and go, all right, maybe. Because I think that's exactly what Calais Campbell's done for the last few years.
But see, as a team, and I know what you're saying. As a team, the only way to do that, the only team that needs to spend to bring in other players to do it cap-friendly is to do it as a multi-year deal, because you can spread cap hit out of guaranteed money. So you would probably do it and say we're extending you 2 years. But that's a conversation. Look, that's where the team has to talk to Grady's age. That's where Todd France and either Terry or the – who and I forget my guy's name – that because I can see his
doesn't
face,
matter.
But I can know the guy's name who's now the Nick Polk of the organization, does the contract negotiation and says, what are we looking at realistically? What's Grady's timeline? Because your point is valid. Maybe Grady doesn't want to play five more years.
I, I would venture to say he probably doesn't.
Because
now zeros will talk, and maybe they can talk him into it. But again, at $20 million cap hit, like I'm good.
Grady's
like I'm good on that. And I nobody loves Grady Jarrett more than me, dude. Like I love watching him go to work.
But yeah.
But my thing is like if when you look at these names and you're looking at Milton Williams being the number one free agent available, and you got to think that he's going to get in the ballpark of let's say 20 or 22 average annual value.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but let's compare it to Grady Jarrett's cap hit. You know what I mean? Like, what production value are we getting there for the zeros that are attached to it? No. I know what you're saying. But I just, like, I think that we have these allegiances as fans, and I'm the same way. But you also have to look at it from a business perspective and go, dude, there's a lot of upside from clearing some of this stuff out.
Look, you're so right. As a fan, as a guy that I think, you know, personally, I've been around Grady since he's been his entire career.
Heartbeat of the just the defense, but heartbeat of the team.
Yeah, and he's got a pulse of the city too because he does tremendous charity work here. It's his defensive line room, you know, as a leader there. But the $20.5 million is a crap ton when you're in win now mode, and you need cap space,
and you might possibly have $40 million walking out the door.
Yeah, and sorry, that's how it is. And I think you're absolutely right. And I'm the person that hates change.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, all my favorite athletes have left too early.
Yeah.
Even though they probably left after they should have or right when they should have, they still left early because I don't get to see them anymore.
You know what's interesting, too, is and Raheem was asked about Grady at the Combine and kind of doing the radio gauntlet and the future for Grady Jarrett. And he just kind of mentioned, you know, he's exactly what you want as an Atlanta Falcon. But I when I heard that, the first thing I thought of was, okay, then he needs to, you know, whenever he decides to hang up his cleats, let's give him an ambassador role. You know what I mean? And I was around guys that were essentially asked to retire. That's how Ty McClure went out. The guys in the Falcons Ring of Honor, and dude, they essentially said, you got to go, dude.
Grady wants to come be a coach.
Exactly.
Whatever. It's
some kind of ambassador, put the red coat on him and whatever else you need to do. But for over 20 as a salary cap, that's hard for me to swallow as a fan of the team.
Well, not when you had this many needs, yeah.
Yes.
When we come back here on the morning shift, let's stick with NFL headlines and the latest before the franchise tag deadline. What's going on with the Vikings and quarterback Sam Darnold? That's on the way. We go in the huddle on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. We're back here on the morning shift this hour, brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. You all right there?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Clearing my throat.
Thought you had something important to say. No.
Oh, I always have something important to say in my own mind, but doesn't mean it's important to anybody else.
I wonder what reviews we would get in an NFL meeting room if we had to meet with head coaches.
I wonder if
they'd come out and be like, that squid billy guy, arrogant.
Oh, if we went through like a...
arrogant, cocky.
I've always thought job interviews... I'm not arrogant or cocky.
You're just confident.
I'm confident myself.
There you go, sure.
I've always thought job interviews... I know why they're intimidating. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I've never been nervous for a job. I have. I mean, I think we all have. Because normally they're opportunities for us, like, you know, to grow, to better ourselves. So you should be, if you're not a little bit anxious, like, but I've never been nervous from the standpoint of, will I be good enough or whatever. Like, the only thing you're selling at a job interview is yourself.
Yeah.
And so you're... There's no reason to be nervous about the content because you're literally talking about yourself. Now, I've always been more about like the things that made me anxious in those things is body language.
Yeah.
Because naturally, I like to slouch in a chair and I like to cross my arms. And those are two things that I've kind of heard that
shows you don't care.
You don't want to do them, right? Like, now
your answers. Makes you close off.
But your answers, but then you just talk, man. You just talk. Just talk. All you got to do is talk in a job interview.
I will say one of the greatest compliments I ever got was, I think it was Brad Childress. Was he the Vikings coach back
then? He was. Glasses.
He looked at me and told me I represented myself well. And I was like, God, I really appreciate that. Because one of the things, and I will say this, and some people probably thought I was weird for it. I didn't want to wear my sweats to these interviews. So I went up and actually put on like a pair of pants to wear to my interviews. Like I didn't want to wear sweats. And
Yeah,
put on a polo. And they were like, hey, you represent yourself really, really well. I'm sure you'll be successful, whatever you choose to do. I actually got that comment. Remember Kevin Winston, who was the
I love Kevin Winston.
He's the best. And he said that to me multiple times over the years when I was with the Falcons. Like, I'll never forget, like, you represented yourself well on your visit. Because I went on a visit to Flower Branch. I didn't meet with Mike Smith at the Combine. I actually went on a visit to Flower Branch. Wait, stayed up at Lake Lanier.
You can draft players that didn't you didn't visit with at the Combine?
Yeah, yeah, shocking.
Tell me more.
Yeah, top, what do they have? Is it top 40 visits? You bring in your top 40 player, top 30 or whatever it is. So, yeah, I got a chance to do that. And I was here on my visit with Rolando McClain.
Oh, yeah.
And a seventh-round draft pick, that or sixth-rounder for that year was Shan Schillinger.
I'll remember Shan Schillinger.
Who's a head coach in college now, by the way,
where?
Shan Schillinger.
Where? What college?
I'd have to look it up. It's no, it's like a... I want to say it's a Midwest, like St. Mary's or something along that line.
Didn't Shan come from like Montana?
He was. I'm pretty sure he was teammates with Croy. No. If I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
pretty sure he was.
But no, I just always think you're just talking and you're talking about yourself. And what do you know more or better? Now, I think there might be some people that don't know themselves as well as they think they do. But what do you know better than yourself?
Yeah. I think the interviews aren't the hard part. I think it's once you get the job, because sometimes you may not be ready for what you're about to take on.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I tell all the kids that I talk to.
The youths.
I know when I got to NFL Network, I was coming from doing, I was at a regional network. And I get there and do the, you know, interview. Everything goes well. I get hired. And my first live shot was in Jacksonville for free agency. And the live shot was horrible. And the boss called me right. Like, I basically get off air and I get my phone's ringing. It's like, you were much better on your reel.
And like, I was like, go back and look at the reel and revisit what you're trying to do.
I need this job, so I guess I better figure it out.
Yeah.
And I did.
But honestly, it's kind of cool that he gives you instant feedback like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather have that than somebody just float me along and be like, I can't wait to get rid of this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's a case by case study, because not everyone is the same. Not everyone handles things the same, and some people you have to kind of handle with kid gloves and you know when and where to say stuff. And other people, and I've always thought this about you, Tiffany. Like, I'm sure your boss called you. You're a person that you can just be like, no, you got to do this or don't do that or. Boom, like you can take it, right?
Be direct,
There's some people that can't, they're just a little bit more fragile than others.
Yeah,
and
a little
so
more
you have to hand. You talking about me?
I mean, I wasn't, but the fact you reacted like that makes me wonder if you think you're argumentative.
I have
to.
Hey, don't be sensitive. Because that's exactly what you'd say
you
to me.
You said that, yes. Oh, yeah, you guys were supposed to air out your list of grievances.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm about to come across this table. You ever been hit by a 5'8" guy?
No, I don't plan on today being that day either.
I don't know if y'all want to do that today, like later, a little bit later if we...
I don't know.
Time, but,
we might have to do this tomorrow. I don't have that time
for the 5'8".
We'll do it while I'm here.
Aren't you here all week?
No, I'm not. I got to go to New Mexico.
When you go to New Mexico? Tomorrow?
It was next week.
No, that's this week.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, it was like a last minute ask. Yeah.
I remember us talking about you could go into Albuquerque because you've never been to Albuquerque.
Because
we're going to, did Donaldson send us a list of things?
I don't know.
That
I got to hit him up. He's been working.
All right, let's go in the huddle. We'll give you some quick headlines. All right, the Minnesota Vikings, and this comes from Adam Schefter of ESPN. He is unlike, oh, wow. Sam Darnold, there we go, and the Vikings. So it's Sam Darnold. He is unlikely to be franchise tagged ahead of today's 4 p.m. deadline. That is what sources told Adam Schefter. Minnesota is still interested in working to re-sign Darnold, but it is likely to be without a tag.
I wonder how much this has to do with the last two games' performances for him. But look, you invested in a first-round quarterback. It's J.J. McCarthy time up there. Evidently, they believe in him to an extent. And I maybe this is a simple thing of saying, hey, go see what you can get, because I don't know that it's going to be, you know, as great as you think it is.
Who are they going to have? I don't. ACLs to me are always a little bit scary, right? Because we've talked about it before.
Yes.
You do one, likely to do the other. I don't know if I want to let him go.
Would it make sense to put him on a transition tag?
Because, I don't know.
Because then people could talk to him, and I think you can work out a trade for him. You might get something for him. Now, I don't know if a team – now, here's the problem. I don't know if anybody's giving up anything for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it would be first rounder, multiple first rounders.
At that 35.3, but then even if you put him, on transition tag, you'd have a chance to get him, and you're going to pay him $5 million less than a regular franchise tag.
I am so curious to see where he ends up, man, because he's one of those guys that – and you can go ahead and probably cross one of them off your list. I think the Jets need a quarterback. He ain't going to New York, so
I am
curious to see.
Look, you guys know I want to compete. I'm not for faking injuries or anything, but if I was him – and I look back in hindsight, he should have faked an injury last year after, like, week 14 and just been like, oh – oh, bad ankle sprain.
Or he could have come out Super Bowl week.
Stop it.
So I was hurt.
All right.
Super Bowl. Hey, by the way, I didn't feel up to par those last 2 weeks.
You know when Kirk said that? I was too. I was hurt too. My bad, G.
Let's keep it moving here. All right. This is from Tim McManus of ESPN. The Super Bowls are the Super I'm telling y'all to keep it moving. I can't read good. The Super Bowl champion Eagles are releasing six-time Pro Bowl cornerback Darius Slay. So he will be designated as a post-June 1st transaction, saving the Eagles $4.3 million against the salary cap.
Yeah, they don't keep expensive people defensively. They develop and draft people defensively, and that's the model they've got. They paid everybody on offense. Everybody on offense they have paid. The people on defense are the ones that are going to shudder because of it. I don't think it means he's a bad player. I don't think it means Milton Williams is a bad player or whatever else. It's just not the way that team goes about their business. Yep. They like to keep young, cheap guys on defense for the most part.
It's a little bit easier when the guy's 34 years old, is about to enter his 13th year in the league, and his cap hits $22.7 million.
Yeah.
And that's where it all
comes
from.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
The Cincinnati Bengals have placed a franchise tag on wide receiver T. Higgins for the second straight year. Higgins announced the news by posting on X. He wrote, tag.
Yeah.
That is it.
You're it.
This is the second year in a row. If he signs it, he'll have $26 million fully guaranteed, obviously. I just don't know what the plan is other than to win 100 to 95. Because they need help so many places, and it's not at wide receiver.
And it's weird. It's, you know, Joe Burrow comes out in Super Bowl week, and you know he's being asked about keeping all these pieces in place, and he's like, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out, but other teams do it, so we got to figure out a way.
Yeah, the Dolphins.
Yeah, or Philly. He was talking about Philly, and he's like, yeah, these other teams figure out a way to do it, so do we. And I'm like, dude, like.
But they draft really well.
But my thing is with him, like, don't complain when you get hit in the face.
The Bengals did announce that they made this move with the intent of continuing to work toward a long-term deal with Higgins in Cincinnati. All right.
Makes sense.
Jimmy Johnson, the Pro Bowl football Pro Football
You're doing great, sweetie.
Hall of Fame coach, my goodness, who won two Super Bowls and a college national championship, has announced his retirement from Fox Sports after being a part of its NFL coverage with the network for 31 years.
And
he's 81 years old.
Fox has already announced they'll add three people to the
Dude,
desk.
Dude, I
because,
was just thinking the same
Because that's
thing.
How many – that's how many – we need 12 people at a desk. Look, Jimmy Johnson, I love Jimmy Johnson as an analyst. I did not like
analyst?
Him. Yes, I know. I just can't get with it, man. I did not love him as a coach because he coached the Cowboys in Miami. But the dude was as good of a coach as you could find, and he was as honest as you could find because he had no issue telling you, I don't treat all players the same. Stars get treated like stars, and the 52nd man on the roster gets treated like the 52nd man on the roster.
I heard Jimmy Johnson say my name in Fox's coverage of the Sugar Bowl 1 year, and it was – for a good reason at the time, but I remember being like, oh, my God, he just said my name. That was really, really cool. He's a legend,
cool.
Man. There's no doubt about it. And all good things must come to an end. I think they had to kind of thin out some of the things. But all these pregame shows kind of got to thin out for a little bit. Too many voices in too many different places. So I don't mind it, man, but hopefully he enjoys retirement.
I'm done trying to read. Up next, we have Mic'd Up.
Yeah, we got him Mic'd Up. What would you give if you could hear your dog's words in their final days? Somebody attempted to do that out in California. I'll tell you what they said, and then you guys will tell me what your dog might say if they could talk to you. That's coming up next in the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
They'll bring it across with Bain. We're tied at 130. 12 seconds to go in the game now. Bain bouncing it outside. Down to 6. Bain trying to drive. And it's stolen by Dyson Daniels. Up to Caris LeVert. Karras goes in. He lays it up and in right at the buzzer. And the Atlanta Hawks have won. Dyson Daniels just stole it. Dyson Daniels stole it. And the Atlanta Hawks have won. The Atlanta Hawks have won this game right at the buzzer.
Steve Holman on the call of Atlanta Hawks W. They take it 132 to 130 over the Memphis Grizzlies. And that was courtesy of Dyson Daniels' steal and Karis LeVert's last second bucket.
A much needed win for the Hawks, obviously. When you go on, when you go into this stretch of games they're having as home games, but in this one, I think it closes an 8.5 point underdog in this game, even being at home. Now, mentioned a couple times, I know there's injuries to the Grizzlies, but guess who don't care? Me, all right, because we've dealt with enough on our end as Atlanta Hawks fans for me to care. Dyson Daniels continues a strong run as a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, and Zachary Risacher, one of his best games as a pro. So all around good win. You were down double digits at many, many points in the game, and to be able to get that, a steal to a layup, one of the least likely buzzer beater finishes to a Hawks game that I've seen in a really long time. So nice to see them get back in the win column.
Not just any layup now. That was a Eurostep layup that he had to, that LeVert kind of bobbed and
when I see somebody do a Eurostep, I just hear them in my head going,
Why?
Because I know Dylan probably makes those noises.
Why does it come sound like?
As a certified baller, I can confirm.
Wait,
we always
what?
Hit the
when we do. No,
Dylan,
no,
they're making no. fun of you on Dukes and Bell saying you wear goggles.
No, not rec specs.
Oh, I have to wear the rec specs, yeah.
Oh, man.
What's wrong? People wear rec specs in the NBA.
Hold on. You don't got to yell at us.
People wear rec specs in the NBA.
You telling someone not to yell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I respect it, though. I don't like being yelled at.
But, I mean, see, I tell you what. This guy... For a guy that's almost,
can y'all please air out your grievances
for a guy that's
right now?
6'6", he sure likes the needle a lot. You don't throw haymakers. You just throw
all
little
I said
jabs.
Was I respect
you're
you telling
jabber.
Him that. I don't want to be yelled at either.
No, it was not. Oh, you knew what you did.
I can't believe you wear rec specs though. I did not know that.
I have to.
Oh,
feel like it wasn't involved
by that at all.
In your girlfriend's video. Her WAGS video.
Well, I actually, quick story on this. I actually lost my rec specs, so now I just have to wear the little like things to hold up your glasses that
yes,
you attach
dude.
To the
thing, you have a strap around
yes.
your you have like croquis or whatever?
Yeah, whatever they're called.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're in a fraternity, they'd be called croquis.
The sport croquis. Yeah, I was going to say the croquis.
You know I think the correct way to answer that now is saying I used to until I lost them. But secondly,
right.
Back to the Hawks for a second, and I want you to chime in, Dylan, because I appreciate your basketball
acumen.
Knowledge. Yeah, acumen.
That's IQ.
I think Risacher has had a quietly really good year, and he's showing kind of what you wanted to see. He's not great every game, but he's had moments, and he's clearly getting better and more comfortable with the game, especially when you have your best game as a pro against one of the better teams in the league.
Yeah, what I like the most about what I've seen from Risacher this year is that he's been consistent in the fact that he hasn't really had too many like clunker of games. I feel like he's always been around that 10 to 16 point range night in, night out, so he's been consistent in that realm, right? But he has had these nights back at the beginning of the season against the Knicks. He had a big game, obviously last night he drops 27, so he's been consistent, but he's also showing you the flashes of this is the guy I could be, and this is what my potential is, and this is what my potential ceiling is. So we have the consistency right away that a number one overall pick should have, but he's also shown the flashes that a number one overall pick who you expect to become one of the cornerstones of your franchise, he's shown that.
Yeah,
the Eastern Conference is so top heavy. If you look at the standings in the last 10 from each team, it's 10-0, 7-3, 7-3, 7-3, 6-4, 9-1. Now you go to the play-in round teams, 3-7, 4-6, 5-5, 2-8. And the Hawks are the 5-5, believe it or not.
Isn't it weird where you look? I'm with you. You look at the conference table right there, the standings,
dude.
And it's almost like those play-in teams are like, "Can somebody get better than us so we can fall a little bit?
Yeah.
Like we don't want any of this smoke."
Meanwhile,
like somebody take this spot.
The Nets right there at 11, Mike, to your point, they're like, "No, we're good. We're going to be 4-6." And the Bulls are like, "Oh yeah, we're going 2-8." It's like,
hold
no.
my beer.
It's just funny how top heavy the Eastern Conference plays out. The Western Conference is
a little bit different.
It is a little bit different, especially with the table. The Grizzlies are actually on a little bit of a slide, and so are the Rockets. But
yeah,
You know, I don't know. I agree, though, with Dylan's take. I think Reese Shea, to get back to the main thing I'd ask him, I think he's been pretty good this year as for a rookie.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny? If you look at the odds for the top four guys for rookie of the year right now, two of those are Zach Edey and Jalen Wells, who you saw last night from Memphis take the floor as starters for the Memphis Grizzlies. So hopefully, in the eyes of voters or whoever else, he was able to put a good foot forward, because Stephon Castle does look like he's running away. If you do want to sprinkle a little of that magic change on Zachary Shea right now, plus 1,600 and rookie of the year odds. And I have to think, on the same page, last I checked, Dyson Daniels was, I believe, second in terms of the odds for him.
It's over. He's got it.
He has to.
With Wemby out, he's got it.
Yeah. And I'll be curious, and I'll have to look back at the odds for that one as well. I think he was second in the odds last I looked. But, again, another good foot forward last night. Him having a game-winning steal at the buzzer to be able to, you know, push it up the floor to Caris, who, by the way, Calvert, like you like to call him, had a great game last night as well.
Combined his name. Hey, speaking of hoops, Georgia men's basketball, they take on South Carolina tonight on the road, and that tip is set for 6 o'clock as they try to continue to build their resume for the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and they don't need, you know, style points or anything else. They need to win, and they need to continue to win. Because I think, it's a week from tomorrow, we're getting an SEC tournament action. They need to close out their schedule on a high note, because that SEC tournament's going to be absolutely brutal with the teams you're going to see in that one.
Did you see the South Carolina women's and the Texas, and they had to flip a coin?
Ridiculous.
To see who got the number one seed?
Just seems absurd, man. And this, with all the money involved and all the things going on in sports, that we're like, you know what, man, let's flip this one up in the air.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Don Staley's like, I'll win the coin toss and then go wear a Louis hoodie on the sideline.
Yeah, I love it, man. She's got some swag to her.
That's
She's got some swag to her.
I just thought it was funny because she's like, yeah, we won the toss. Here's my Louis hoodie.
Yeah.
I kind of like the hoodie, though. Yeah. It's kind of cool. Yeah. Right. Zip up, you know, white with the Louis all over. It's cool.
Do you guys believe in psychics? Let's find out.
No.
Today's Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. In the most on-brand answers to that question I've ever heard, Bo's like, absolutely not. And in a whisper, Tip goes, I do.
I had a reading done. Yeah. It was a company that I work for. They had a party and they brought out.
Really?
It was like a women's thing. And so they brought out a tarot card reader.
Yeah.
So
was a tarot card.
Yeah. It's very insightful.
Do you believe in the astrology and stuff too?
Whenever you want to admit to things, you don't want to sound like you're, I'm not on the crazy end. Like, I'm not out there saying, oh, I'm a rising whatever. Like, I'm not saying they're crazy if people do, or if you are into that, that's your thing. But I'm not extreme to that.
Interesting.
Level.
All right. Well, we're all dog owners here, all three of us. So recently there was a TikToker, Shay McCracken, who kind of made news and went viral. She had a basset hound named Bosley, and she's a 28-year-old psychology graduate in California. And they kind of got, you know, the feeling and the understanding that the 12-year-old basset hound was kind of nearing the end of their days. And one of the things that, you know, after consulting with a vet, they were like, all right, you know, the time's kind of come. The dog's in pain, this, that, and the other. So they came up with the idea as a family to hire a psychic, because they wanted to get Bosley's final words, and how Bosley was feeling. So she kind of goes on to say, Shay McCracken, and I want to make sure I give credit, she goes on to kind of start this by saying the first, like, three or four things this psychic said completely whiffed on what she was trying to say. But in the end, kind of come back around, and the psychic says Bosley was trying to communicate that he was feeling pain, he was very tired, apologized for being messy, wasn't trying to be naughty, and then basically there was another dog who is a black, a black lab, I want to say, and that, you know, he thought that his brother, the black lab, was the favorite in the family. Now, granted, I'm not big on psychics and things like that, but when I read that she kind of whiffed on the first three or four and then she finished strong with these, I'm like, could you not have said this about any dog that is 12 years old and then is about to be put down, feeling pain, very tired, apologize for being messy and not trying to be naughty, and that I thought my brother was the favorite? And basically, Shay McCracken, the TikToker's name, was like, yeah, I mean, we pretty much showed equal love to both of our dogs throughout the time. So I mean, I guess it's all about whether or not you believe in psychics. No. If you believe in psychics, you're probably like, spot on. If you don't, you're like, yeah, she just guessed.
Wait, is that so? That's all they got, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all. She said that like some of the stuff was on and off. There was no, there was no craziness about it. It was just kind of very kind of ho hum. But I think it brought their family a little bit of closure when she said that the dog was feeling pain and was very
maybe
tired.
They picked the wrong one because there was another I don't know if it was a TikToker or it was this girl on Instagram and she did one for her cat that was not being put down. But in the first couple of things that she's like any cat owner, this is stuff that, you know, isn't surprising. But then she got personal stuff in there about I gotta pull this up again, but about how I don't know that she didn't like the other cat. Like, the cat didn't like the other cat with her.
Yeah.
She wanted a bigger window. There was something else that was more, like, I guess, nuanced or something where the girl was kind of freaked out. But that one went viral. I have not done a pet reading for my dog.
And I want both of y'all to answer this because I've been trying to figure this out all morning. Once I read this, I wonder what my dog Charlie would say to me. But and not, like, in a deathbed way, obviously. I don't want to talk about that now. He's not old enough for that, but... What do y'all think y'all's dogs would say to y'all right now if you had a psychic? If you, like, pulled in and you're like, the dog was actually communicating with the psychic. I'd love to know.
My dog wants to sunbathe more.
Is that what it is?
That is.
Let me outside more. Do you think your dog would be like, hey, buy a home so we can get a doggy door so I can get a backyard?
Probably.
Yeah, he'd be like, you need to invest in a backyard.
My dog would probably tell me to take her on more walks. I'd tell me which brand of shredded cheese she likes better.
Shredded cheese?
My dog loves shredded cheese.
Dude, Why don't you just do a sampling? I'm just kidding.
Because she eats it all.
Her name's Sprinkles. I feel like she should be eating off of the plates across the floor and see which one she goes to first.
Give her an option, see how many votes she gives.
I mean, I had tacos one day and too much cheese fell like on the plate, and I was like, I don't want it. I just handed her the plate, let her eat the cheese off the plate. I mean, what? She's going to wash the plate anyways.
You don't strike me as somebody who lets their dog clean up their plate after dinner.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
But
he does get like if I have a steak, he gets like a little. Steak. I always say,
why don't
like
you let
a
him
little,
clean up the plate?
Because that's disgusting.
You're washing the plate.
I was just thinking of it like a paper plate, but yeah.
I mean, a paper plate would be different because I'm throwing it away. But
I was thinking in terms of like your dog's health. You don't like. I feel like you take.
Oh,
very
I was thinking more of my health, not wanting it to
like,
lick
I don't
on
need,
my
I don't need my dishes
my,
here.
My dishware. I will say, I would like to know what. Like, I didn't do any, I have like a leave it command, all that kind of stuff, but a lot of stuff I didn't really like train him to do. So I cooked steak a week ago. I was able to go downstairs, get a package, can leave it on the counter. I can leave a bag of trash on the floor that needs to be taken out. And he doesn't do it. He just doesn't do that stuff.
Same way if I go downstairs with a plate and I put it on my coffee table. And then I like, I forgot something. I run up because if I'm going to eat down there and I run back upstairs, my dog will sit there and Sprinkles will
not touch it.
But if I drop anything on the floor, boom.
He won't touch it on the floor either. Now, he will grab a street snack if there's like
a
wing. I call them street snacks. If I'm like, if I miss like a chicken bone on the sidewalk, he might snag that.
Oh,
he'll drop
man.
It if I tell him to, but he got something yesterday.
I love that. I think my dog would be a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. He'd be like, Dad, there's a white Jeep that drives by every night, stops at our mailbox. I don't know what he's doing, but he seems like a creepy character.
Is that a message to the white Jeep?
I don't know what he's doing out there, but he's here every night scouting us out, man. You might want to check into this guy. I don't know about this. I don't know about this fella out there.
Who am I kidding? I know what Sprinkles really tell me. You're my favorite.
Yeah, is that
right.
It's not an arrogance. It's a confidence.
My dog doesn't have a choice.
It's not an arrogance. There you go. Confidence.
That's mic'd up.
Tell him,
All
Terry.
All right. When we come back, you can tell us what your dog might be thinking if you feel like it. I also am going to, I'm not going to call myself out, but I gave up on something. You guys might be surprised. You may not be. I'll tell you what that is. And if you guys have some thoughts on free agents you would like the Falcons to pursue, you can do it all. Wake up call. Is whatever you want it to be. 404-726-0929. Give us a shout. That's what's up next.